Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, June the 12th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. We do already have callers with hands up. Dr. Tim is with us. But first, let's welcome Michael. Hi.
Thank you, dear heart. We've got an awesome blue sky here in Bristol, Tennessee. Just got back from Jonesville, Virginia. And on the road, getting ready to head to St. Louis on Friday evening sometime. I'll start the drive. Jeannie's going to stay and do the family reunion and fly into Theodosia. In the meantime, we're delighted to have this opportunity to share with each of you. And today is Aramaic Friday.
It's Thursday.
It's only Thursday. Yeah, we were talking about doing Aramaic Fridays and Dale calling in. But it's only Thursday. We've got another day in the week. How awesome is that? So we welcome you to the show, and we want to move in the direction of understanding process called forgiveness. Nothing to do with letting other people off the hook, but how to change the content of your own mind, how to remove from your mind what never belonged in your mind. What never belonged in your mind? Literally, human beings are not designed to even be able to produce hostility or fear. It is an anomaly for the human mind, for the human emotional system, for the human being to produce that. And as you recognize that, then you start to recognize perhaps that there's some work to do to get back to our normal state. How do we determine that? Well, hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. And if you don't have one of those, then maybe there's some work to be done. Create a human life. I shouldn't say create. That's off base. To recapture and relive as a true human being. Again, hold that newborn child. Get an experience of what that awesome presence of love is, and know that that's precisely how you started your life. And until you are able to get hold of the energies that have degraded you, have downgraded you from this pure presence of love into some form of hostility or fear in this circumstance or the next, then human life is lost. We're looking to restore it. We're looking to support you restoring it. We're looking to support me restoring it. Jeannie, Dr. Tim, everybody that we're working with, the project is that of coming to the point where we truly live as this awesome, active presence of love, 24/7, 365. That's where we want to head. You say, but Michael, there's so much insanity in the world. That's never going to work. Well, you know what? It probably isn't going to work with 7.5 billion people yet. But there's this teacher from 2,000 years ago, this very amazing physicist. His name was Yeshua. he's popularly known as Jesus. That wasn't his name. His Aramaic name was Yeshua. And when you hear his words as a physicist, and he says, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf, I think we can be rest assured that he was not talking about bread. He was talking about we as human beings. And when enough of us are restored to this awesome active presence of love, then we're going to create critical mass. Together, we are going to create an energy field that will then open the space for the other 7.5 billion people on the planet. It's only going to take a small fraction to stop, to look and go, wow, I could be experiencing that awesome presence of love instead of this. How cool is that? But you got to build the brain cells to move in that direction. We're here supporting the building of the brain cells. And, you know, it comes clear to me more and more often that it takes 4, 5, maybe longer years in order to build the brain cells for how that transition takes place and that it is possible. I like to use an example of that transition by asking, you know, let's imagine that I put an ounce of gold on a plate and I put it down on the floor and I put an ounce of hamburger on a plate and I put it down on the floor. And we bring a dog in the room. Now, the dog obviously has a choice. The dog could pick up the ounce of gold and walk out of the room with it, go down to the store and buy 1,500 pounds of hamburger at the price of gold today. Or I shouldn't say that. It's not really the price of gold. It's the worthlessness of the paper with which people are buying it. But anyway, that's a different topic, different story. Could do that, but is there one dog in the world that would do that today? Probably not one. Now, how long is it going to take to build the brain cells for the dog? And I don't mean whipping the dog into, you know, don't touch the meat, grab the coin. I'm talking about building the brain cells for the dog to recognize the choice that it could select the ounce of gold and walk out of the room. That's what we're talking about by building brain cells. You can't function out of brain cells you don't have. If you come from 1,000 generations of rage and guilt and war and grief and pain and drama and trauma, you can't choose love today. Well, you might do it for a half a second. You might go home to your spouse and say, well, you know, I listened to this radio show and I got, you know, this newborn child. I remember holding that newborn baby that we had, dear. It was so awesome and that presence of love. And I'm now getting that that's who I am. So here's my commitment. From now on, that's how I'm going to function in our relationship. You know how long that's going to last, don't you? Until the next time your partner gives you the look. And then the old generational pattern, the brain cells that have been built over 1,000 generations of insanity, are going to return to control, and your resolution to function as love is going to dissipate and disappear. Now, there's nothing bad about that. That's just part of the game. And each time you make a commitment to function with love, you'll come to a new level. The next time you make a commitment to function as love and you engage in the process of forgiveness, and I'm talking about actual forgiveness, not this stuff that this culture tells us is forgiveness, nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, but I actually go in and forgive the content of my mind that holds hostility and fear. I go back to those old experiences, those painful, traumatic things that I never wanted to look at again. I face them squarely and I remove them. That's the act of forgiveness. I go inside myself and remove what never belonged. And as I remove the hostilities and the fears, I'll come to the point where I will truly function as this awesome active presence of love. My choice to function there will be manifest. And guess what? This is not a wimp's work. 5 years is going to be a starting point of doing your work to really key into the difference between picking up the ounce of gold and picking up the hamburger. And I get people say, well, you know, if it's going to take me 5 years, why would I bother? Well, what else is there to do? Do you want a human life? Do you want to function? Not in when everything's nicey-nice and everybody's getting along, function as love, but when the stress is up and the cubes are up, do you want to function as love? So it takes you 5 years. You know how long it's taken to get you to where, when the stress is up and the chips are down, you rage or you grieve or you run away or you go into depression? You know how long that's taken? Generations and generations and generations. When they talked in the Old Testament about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, that does not mean that this bright group of people were lost in a hot, sandy place 30 square miles for 40 years. It speaks of this state of hostility and fear that we've been born and bred in, this desert where no human life is encountered except in the newborn, or rarely is human life encountered. And few have not been tainted. There are a few, but they're rare. And so what did they say had to happen to come out of the desert? They said the old generation has to die off. That's the process. That's what we're here to support you in. And if you do your work, you will open the energetic window where your children are not going to have to spend 40 years in the desert. And your grandchildren are going to spend even less time there. And your great-grandchildren and their children after them, there'll come a point where they will come in as the awesome active presence of love. They will be in a family system that supports their birthright of experiencing themselves and everybody around them as the active presence of love. And they'll never have to go into the desert. Wake up time. That's what we're here to support. And we're delighted that you're with us. And so, Jeannie, you said you've got some hands up already. Let's say hello to Dr. Tim and then just see whose hand is up. Hey, Doc, how do you be?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And looking forward to hear what the callers have to say. If we have that many hands up right away, maybe it's leftovers from discussions earlier in the week. And so I'm game to just hear what the callers have to say.
Let's go for it. Jeannie?
Okay, the first one, I believe, is Rex. 517, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Well, hey there, young man. How do you be? I tried to get back to you a couple times this morning, but I assume you were in sessions with people or otherwise occupied.
Yes, I was. In your text, I deciphered the word you used was, the word the machine recorded was evil. Send those evils to me. I thought, he wants me to send him something. Yeah, I know, it was emails. I figured that. I read it a couple times and went, oh, he means emails. It was funny. That it came
sometimes is a real
funny. Oh, it was fun, though. So, yes, I'll do that. I haven't had a chance yet because I just finished my session a little bit ago. I thought it might be a good time to, if Michelle's on the program, to catch up on what's happened the last couple of weeks in the prison, because I was in Chicago for
me
a week.
Too.
And is Michelle on the phone, Jeannie?
Well, she doesn't have a hand up. Let me scan down through all the numbers and see. Yes, she's there, Michelle. Whoop! She just come up to the top just as I was clicking, which meant I clicked the wrong person. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. Glad to have both of you on the show. It's been a while.
Thanks, Michael. Hi, Rex.
Hi, Michelle. And so, let's see, a couple weeks ago, that would have been, we had a wonderful sharing with the prisoners. We're still working with the level four and level prisoners. We've got a very small group with the fours, five or six that we've been dangling with. Normally, if it goes below seven, they say we're done, and they're still holding on to it, even though we have been having below that level for a couple weeks now. So we're squeezing it through to finish up the Log of Living course. We're on the seventh session, and then we're going to breeze through that and finish up hopefully by the end of June. That's the plan. So, and then getting ready to start a new program. And Michael, I do want to have more conversations with you about that. I would like, because we talked briefly about it, and then because we're getting ready to start putting together what we're going to be teaching and what we're going to be offering. And we'll have a conversation with that off the program, but I thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we have had some pretty wonderful openings. We had one person that was very regular in the program. He's been with us almost every session since you came in a year ago in May.
Right.
And he left the program. Actually, we've referred to him. He's the one that gave me that book that I, and we have four different responses, one of them from him and three others from other people as to why he left and what was going on. And I found that they were all different, which is pretty common for the scenario. But he said he's not coming back to the program. He's still doing the work. That was the last message I got. So that was a shift, and that resonated some things in me because I was really enjoying his participation. He was very active, and so I was able to open up some areas in me that, you know, were triggered by that experience I had and offer the tool of forgiveness. So that was a highlight. I was able to open up some sadness and feeling like I'm not doing it good enough and so on and so forth that was right in sync with that. So I thank him for helping me see more of myself that I think I am rather than what I really am. And that was very helpful. And then, Michelle, I don't know, did you want to share anything?
Rex?
Oh, yes, sir.
Rex, before you move on, I'm just wondering, this happened so quickly after he very lovingly gave you his writing and the work he's been doing. And what that sounds to me is that he went through a new level of vitality, and probably there's so much up in his face. Is there any way to communicate with him that if that's what's happening, he wants, you know, so often over the years I've seen people in an intensive or what have you, and their stuff really comes up big time, and their reality, their generational pattern is, well, I have to get out of here in order to be safe and do it on my own, do it by myself. Is there any way to communicate with him to indicate? Because, I mean, that was just such an awesome step that he made. He had to be hitting new vitality levels. And so who knows what's up in his face?
Well, I actually processed that. And Michelle and I had talked about the possibility of doing that, is that maybe sending, you know, a note and acknowledging that, you know, we're here to support him and would love to have him be a part of the program. And I've processed a fair amount around it so I can get my stuff out of the way and allow love to be the tool of communication through me. And so I'm feeling pretty clear on it now, and I'm getting closer to that. And we have just been getting, everything moves really slow in the prison from what I can tell, and interacting with different things. So he sent me a note through one of the inmates, and I got the information saying he's still doing the work. And then the three other messages I got from different people, one of them being the prison guard, were all different renditions of reasons why he wasn't in the program. And the only one that I got from him was the one that was very palpable or palatable, and the other ones were like very what appeared to be blaming. So it was interesting.
Is it appropriate to share any of that?
Pardon me?
Is it appropriate to share any of that with us?
Let's see. There's a gray area in there. Well, it was about whether or not we were teaching the course adequately as teachers, you know, and mostly focused on me, whether I was doing a good enough job and didn't think I was doing a good enough work in the teaching. And then another part of it was, where's the validity of the teaching? Where is the resource and sources of information where this comes from? And that came up when I did have the opportunity to talk with him, and I did my best to address it with the, you know, available resources. Do you remember the exact words on that piece, Michelle?
What do you mean exact words related to what?
When he talked about, well, how do we know, on what authority, that was the
exactly,
word.
Yep.
On what authority does this material come forth? And I shared, well, it's material that's been interpreted through the Aramaic language and deciphered from Yeshua's message and how it was received. And he said, yeah, but there's discrepancies in the sentences, and there's discrepancies in the words. And I did my best to address to him that There's going to be that because we're human. We're people writing about truth, and we're going to run it through our system, and we're going to do the best we can to decipher it and speak accurately and truthfully. But you're going to have mistakes because we're people. You know, I mean, we make mistakes. And he's a very educated man, has a master's degree, and I learned yesterday or Tuesday that he has a high-level black belt martial art expert and a few other things. And so I'm just learning more all the time, but that's what his main thing was that I heard through other people, that he wondered on whose authority are we teaching this material, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I would add to that conversation, if you do drop him a note, if that's where his hang-up is we're working with a copy of the oldest known New Testament in Aramaic, and it's come through 25 of the top Aramaists in the world as translators, establishing first century meaning of the words. But that's not really the authority. The authority is use the tools and watch what happens. The authority is, and that's, you know, that's the final validation for everything that we're teaching is, let's take, now that we've got the translation, let's take it into the classroom and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, then we know we've got an error, then we're going back to the drawing board and we're going to find out what that error is and we're going to correct it. But, you know, of course, we don't know what we don't know yet. And I suspect, if you were to quiz him, that a power person dynamic that he had was, if he wasn't perfect, his power person would somehow beat up on him. And
you're
that's
right
probably
on.
The dynamic that got him into prison, and that's probably the dynamic that's come up in his face. He, I suspect, made such a powerful connection with you when he was willing to hand you something so personal as his process and his writings, and then what is it, a week or 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, guess who you are? You're his power person. And,
well, and
you know,
and,
does
and
he
I,
somehow think that he didn't do it perfectly? You're going to come down on him, and so what's he going to do? He's going to do it first. It's just one more opportunity to heal.
Well, and I it's much of what you're sharing, and, you know, not quite so exact as you're explaining it, but very similar. I've come to in my own mind, and I had shared with Michelle that, you know, the first week I was gone, that was the first time I missed in a year, I was there. That was the week after he had given it to me, or 2 weeks after he had given it to me. The following week, I don't recall, I think he was there, but I don't know if he'd missed a week. So then when I was gone and Michelle was there, he was there, and that was the last time he was there. So there hasn't been the opportunity to interact with him about it. And quite frankly, there was so much to take in it, I didn't really have a response other than thank you for, you know, trusting me and having it, giving it to me.
Sure.
And I never saw this coming. But what I'm learning is, like you talked about, Michael, and this is good for all of us to hear, is when we open up more and more to the truth and loving the truth, the information that comes up that are a distortion of the truth and the lies that we've taken in, that I'll speak personally, that I've taken in, will have, it will come up. And when it comes up, I either will apply the tools that got me into that space to be able to allow it to come up, to build the vitality, or I'll go into denial. And if I go into some form of denial, I will look for something outside of myself to blame and to be at cause and to support the dissociated state. It's so important to have that as a reminder, not to focus on it, but just to remember, you know, there it is. And if it happens, oh, yeah, I remember Michael said that. Oh, yeah, that's what Rex was talking about. Oh, yeah, that's what Dr. Tim was saying. Oh, that's what this looks like. Oh, good, now I'm in my deeper stuff. Now I can get through it. And I know Michael and Tim, there's been times, and there definitely has been with me, that I knew this material, and I would say that, and then I would end up going into my stuff so deeply that I might say something like I said, oh, I don't know, Michael, a few months ago to you in a conversation, I know I'm upset, but I'm thinking clearly.
Yeah. All right, the biggest oxymoron of the universe. I'm in my hostility or fear, and you're wrong, and I'm in total clarity. I absolutely know the truth. It's like, what a fraud.
And what a beautiful, beautiful experience that was for me to go through to get to the place where I can actually recognize that now. So that was a huge gift. And that's what I would invite. Absolutely. So I'm in gratitude with that and for that. But and Michelle, did you have anything that you might like to offer that maybe came up in the session, or did you want to, what do you want to do with that?
I'll tell you what, before we move to that conversation, Michelle, I'd like to just throw in one other piece that's such an important piece that comes from, 45 years of working with people and watching how when people go into their insanity, and, of course, insanity means I'm pointing a finger at somebody else. You're not doing it right. Look what's wrong with you. When what they're doing is totally, completely, 1,000%. And so that's where we develop the request at the beginning of each intensive that everyone make the commitment to stay in every class through the whole class, because when people go into their deepest insanity, they will turn tail and run the other way. We did a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop this weekend, and it was interesting. There was a woman who went into a lot of trauma, was working through it, processing through it, and we're sitting around doing the processing work, and her partner starts to share. And literally, I mean, I've just watched this so many times. It's such a loss for that person when they don't keep that commitment. And literally, the second this woman put her hand up and started to speak about some input that was really valuable to this woman who had so much trauma come up, she turned and was out of the room, talking with someone else, taking care of something else that was her excuse to not listen and not deal with the next level of what she was going to deal with. And there was a second person who during the intensive was speaking about how, her partner didn't acknowledge her, was about, how she did it wrong and this wasn't right and that wasn't right. And exactly the same thing, about maybe 45 seconds after she walked out of the room to get something, we were actually, right in process, her partner didn't see her leave the room and started to speak in such glowing terms. I mean, literally everything that she always wanted to hear from her partner, and 45 seconds before he started, she walked out of the room and didn't hear a word of it. I've seen that over and 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 over again, to the point where we started to make the request, stay in the room, because literally, when you're in your insane mind, and if you're pointing the finger at or talking about somebody else, you're in denial. I'm saying that to all of us. If you're talking about somebody else as they're not doing it right, there's something wrong with them, guess who's insane at the moment? Guess when it's time to keep your commitment to stay with it, because when you turn tail and run, you just lose the most valuable piece of the process that there is. And it is the most supportive thing in the world to ask somebody for that commitment. And Rex, I'm saying this because I think that it might be appropriate for the next round of classes that when somebody signs up for the class, they make a commitment to be in every session for every minute, unless, of course, the circumstances inside the prison prohibit them. But other than circumstances beyond their control, that they absolutely make the commitment to be in every session through to completion, even when their stuff comes up, because it's when their stuff is up that the most valuable healing opportunity comes. And that's when the non-being mind says, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. See, you're wrong. I mean, it's such a once you've been in the work is for a while, and I'm sure Dr. Tim will affirm it, and I know you will, Rex, once you've been in a while, I mean, you just watch. And you know to the second when somebody's up and out of there, uh-oh, here comes their opportunity, and they're gone for it.
And Will,
so I just
want
to throw that in, Michelle. Go ahead, Rex.
It's so true. And just for a reminder for all of us, we will come up with really, really convincing ways of leaving. The And what we're leaving is our fear. We're trying to hide it from ourselves. We're leaving in that dissociated state and not able to open it up. And there can be other reasons. There can be reasons why people leave the work. It isn't always the case. But generally, yeah, the best thing to do is to check in to see, is there something that I'm not willing to look at? And go after that before you consider stop doing the work.
Yep.
If you do that, I've never seen a situation where a person just walked away from the work anyway. They might have taken a little respite and then come back to it, but never have I seen someone just leave it and never come back to it when they actually did that.
I've seen it take as long as 10 years for somebody to come back. I remember one woman who started to do the work, she tapped into it, and then some stuff came up, she turned tail and ran. She had bought all the DVDs. Back then it was actually cassette, VCR tapes, and the book. And she called me, and she had been on her bookcase getting a book out. She had bent down, and my book fell out and hit her in the head. She picked the book up, and she said she just consumed it, and she had literally walked away 10 years earlier. And as she sat with the book and consumed it, she called me, like, bang, right there on the spot. I need to be at an intensive yesterday. I need to do this, like, right now. It's like, well, you know, there wouldn't be so much urgency if you just stuck with it for the last 10 years, but okay, and our next intensive isn't for 3 months. We're, you know, in the middle of the travel season. So, you know, I mean, I've seen it over and over again, but the longest I've seen so far has been 10 years where somebody turns away. And always people turn away because of their own stuff and then turn back. So it's cool. So, Michelle, what do you have to share about your experience of all of that?
Well, it's funny. I have somebody who's waiting on me, and I've wanted to hang up the phone like 4 times now because I'm having them hold. And so I'm like, okay, well, see what happens. I think what Rex is referring to was 2 weeks ago we started on Series 6 or 4. Rex, what is it? Series or session? But anyways, the concept where you're learning about the importance and value of honoring your parents. And this got introduced to me for the first time in August at the intensive, and I really struggled with that concept as having had a lot of physical and emotional abuse as a child and teenager. I used to have the idea that first 20 years, shame on you, next 20 years, shame on me, and that I just disengaged from making myself available to any kind of abuse, and in hindsight also make myself unavailable for any level of healing. And so the process started back then in August, and Rex helped me through an intense lecture one time when you were talking, Michael, and slipped right into a breathing session. Started to practice that concept of actively holding a space of love and behaving in ways that would demonstrate honoring of the parent. Dr. Kim knows about Halloween on my mom's birthday, had a you know, layer of stuff clear. So fast forward here to 2 weeks ago, and Rex was explaining to the inmates the whole topic of honoring your parents, and he languaged it in such a brilliant way, he thought, that he looked at me, he's like, wasn't that good? That was a really good explanation, probably the best I've ever done. And I turned to him, and now, of course, we're in front of everybody having this dialogue, and I'm like, I didn't understand a word you said. None of that made sense to me. It's too confusing. I'll say it again. I have no idea what you mean. And he just looked at me, like, sort of dumbfounded, like, are you kidding me? And so he started it, you know, take it slower, sort of sentence by sentence. And, you know, as he talked and as I was experiencing it, you know, I started to cry. And I started to cry more and more and breathing, crying, not holding my breath, crying. And Rex asked the inmates to hold a space of love, and I did a verbal worksheet on the stage and processed stuff around that. And I don't know, Rex, it feels like I'm saying it incompletely. What else is there?
Well, there was a lot there, and you've articulated it really well. And what the things I noticed was, I was excited in the moment because I watched the group and they seemed to really grok it. So I was just looking over at Michelle and I said, man, I hope you got that because that was really well said. And sometimes I'll just have things that I say and then I recognize, well, I'm saying it. I'm the one intuiting it and sharing it and it's all good. But sometimes it sounds so good that I want to make sure I hear it as well. And it's kind of like that. It's a very strange sensation. So that's kind of what was happening in the moment with Michelle. And then when I saw her face and her eyes looking a little watery and then not saying I didn't understand any of it, I realized that she was really moving a lot of energy about it. And then that's when the rest of what you were communicating was, what I observed is that you were willing, and I asked very specifically, do you want to do this now? And you said, well, we're doing it. Yes. And so then you did, and I checked out the group to make sure that they were seeing what they were doing, if they were judging or if they were scuttling in their seats, and they were perfectly still. We're talking 15, 16, 17 inmates, perfectly still, and just amazing, cranking just tremendous support and love, compassion in their faces, and just staring at Michelle and just, I was just like, wow, they're handled. This is awesome. And then I went back to Michelle. So that was an important piece because I got to see something there that was so reinforcing to what the work they've been doing on themselves. And so then Michelle proceeded to move through the exercise, and the guys were just really supportive. And even after she got through it and regained a sense of awareness and reconnected to love, some of them had a couple questions. We didn't have a lot of time at the end of the program there, but they had a couple questions that were really poignant. What was your experience while you were going through that, Michelle? And it wasn't anything. It was just really genuine. And so I thought it was a very wonderful example of, you know, being able to presence conscious love and really follow through when you were thinking of your parents. You were presencing love in the midst of all the sadness and grief and confusion coming up. And that was a great example of honoring your parents and therefore healing and integrating that in you and then sending that wave of love out to them so that they have an opportunity to integrate that in them as well. And that was my my comprehension of what honoring is. It's an internal process for dissolving the dissociated states and the misperceptions that I have of my parents, and I heal me in me, and I change and connect all the generations to that healing, and subsequently they have the opportunity to heal as well, and that being in especially directly to my parents. And so that's kind of, I mean, I'm sure there's more to it, but that's the nuts and bolts that I saw, and it was exciting to see Michelle be so willing, and I thought it was amazing to watch, and the group since as well has just opened up more and more, and that's the second level.
Yeah, it was like a 20-minute ordeal, and Rex is right. When I looked at them, they were riveted, and I could feel the energy that they were pouring out of love. As a matter of fact, some of the men like held their hands up and just put their palms like towards the stage, and that like she had just really, like, there's so much love there. It's amazing, and it was really cool because I was sort of surprised, like, well, you know, you've already started this. If you're really going to be a teacher, then you have to live it. And this moment is happening, so go for it. And And Rex was wonderful and gentle, and the men were amazing. And after it was over, they were all, like, coming up to the stage and, like, shaking my hand like a celebrity and telling me their stories about their parents. And there's people who've never even really talked who were coming up and saying about their mom and dad this and their mom and dad that. And it really did shift something incredible. And I think that day was before Rex was headed out to Chicago. So did we drive home separate that day? And I remember we were going to talk, and I didn't want to talk because I almost didn't want to break. I felt like on the drive home I was in a bubble of love.
Yes, I do. I think that was the day I took off for Chicago. Yeah. Very powerful.
So I actually do have to go for my appointment now, but Rex, then tell them what happened with the lifer guy this week. Because it happened again. It was like round two because we got into the topic again. And giving us advice, me advice, excuse me. Remember
yes,
the
can
apple
you remember what it was referring? Can you
where,
give me
when,
a clue
when Ruka came in and was like talking through him and he was so passionate.
Shabbat.
Yeah. So I was in from now for delivering the show. And thank you for letting me tell that I am I adore being in prison. It's wonderful and so many opportunities to heal, and it's amazing how much love those guys have for me and for Rex. It's powerful. They're healing me.
Awesome. Thank you, Michelle. And I would maybe just be aware that you said you adore being in prison. That's a cancel on that. You adore working in prison, right?
Okay.
There's a little difference there. I'd like you to stay out of prison and then visit and teach. Michael, I don't know if you're on mute. Are we still on the program? I think we are.
Yes, we are. My mute button was on. Thing. So anything else to share? She said she wanted you to share something that the lifer had shared with you?
Yes. You remember Shabazz. He's the vice president of the Lifers Association.
Yes.
He's been there a long time, and I keep an eye on him, and I ask him how he's doing because he goes up and down. He's had some challenges with his lungs, and he's had some challenges, you know, obviously, and he was feeling better Tuesday, and every once in a while he just pipes up and he starts sharing, and boy, he came out with passion, much like a Southern Baptist preacher, but without any negative energy. It was just passion and truth, and he just started saying, just affirming a lot of the things that we've been working with, but more from his own language. And it was really powerful to listen to him. And, boy, the inmates really do listen. They listen to what he says, and he speaks up. And he essentially affirms what we're teaching when it gets to be a discussion where there's a challenge with our teaching and what we're sharing about the laws. Quite often he'll step up and you go, now wait just a doggone minute. This is what they're saying. They're right. This is what's going on. And he kind of did that, but then he launched into his own rendition of it. And it was beautiful to just sit down and listen to him share and teach. And it was cool to hear. And there was one little itty-bitty piece that he shared. It was not that relevant, but just beautiful sharing. That's what Michelle's talking about. And we're seeing a repetition on these guys really doing the work and really getting it. And we're excited about that. So, and I know we had other callers. That's really what I have to share, and I'll go on mute unless you had something else, Michael, and see if we can catch anyone else.
All right. Thank you, Rex. We'll talk to you after the show, and we sure do appreciate what you're doing. It's awesome. There is Mary Ann Wise is working on a program down in Asheville. We met with a person who's involved in the prison system there, so that's pretty cool and coming forward.
All right, Jenny.
Got another call?
Well, I've got Mary Ann on.
Oh, awesome. Let's say hello to Mary Ann.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear, young lady. How are you today?
Okay, wonderful. Well, a smile on my face, and I just am so appreciative and so filled with possibility, knowing that I will have an opportunity to work with people who are going to be, you know, just having the same opportunity I had 24 years ago. And and knowing that this is happening is bringing up a greater vitality for me, which, of course, is going to bring up all the unhealed stuff. So, Michael, I've had many opportunities the last week since the Still Point session. And this morning I woke up with a thought that I'd sure love some support and healing. The thought is a pattern from the past, and it was so loud that it says, he locked the door, and I think I'm going to die. So I'm willing to heal that real quickly. And I think it was the door to a bathroom. I don't know that for sure in my conscious mind, but that's what I kind of thought it meant. And I've had a concern for years about going into a public bathroom and checking the door. And so if you have any suggestions on that, I'd love some support. I have done my work date this morning, and I'm willing to look at whatever is there.
Well, my highest thought would be to do some worksheets around being restrained or being imprisoned.
Oh. Okay. Yes. That's excellent.
What does that do to your breath?
Well, I start giggling. It's like right on. My breath, I am breathing. And I know the power of the breath, so I will do a still point after this radio show.
Cool. So that's the arena with just what you've said. That's a sense of where I think your most productive worksheets would be, and letting that surface, you know, in the context of our conversation the other day. And then you mentioned something that happened 24 years ago. And, of course, anybody that's in the audience is sort of in the dark there. Is there anything to share about that, to just open the space for the next level of that to heal, and for everyone to, one, hold the space, and, two, allow that to open within themselves, if appropriate?
That period of my life was, there was a huge gift. I discovered your work, and from then I had greater tools to access the truth and come out of denial. And so I know that we've had this, you know, come up before, that it requires commitment. And so even this, you know, at this time in my life, there's still ways that I can access what I haven't been able to look at before. And so having gone through the last couple of weeks with you coming to Asheville and doing the sessions, I feel, and me making a commitment to go into the prison and work the detention center in Asheville, it's just a whole new layer coming up. And so I am going to breathe. I'm going to do my work, and hopefully I'll be a better teacher.
Fabulous. Well, you certainly have our support, and I appreciate how gratefully you've got the door to open in that prison, and the space that you're holding and doing your own process, doing your own work. I know that some old dynamics have been coming up around Mom and what she went through, and I just, you know, support that whole space opening, and that together we become a vortex on the planet for literally evacuating that energy from the earth. The trauma within families, between parents and children, between parents and parents, between parents and the world, just that we hold the space for that to open and to become kingdom.
Yeah, when you were talking yesterday about the movie Healing of Saving Mr. Banks.
Right.
I watched that movie about 3 months ago, and I was just in a puddle of emotion afterwards because it triggered my unhealed stuff from childhood. And I know that I plan to watch it again, actually, and I'll be interested to see what comes up. Because in my own childhood, my father, like in the movie, the main character was wanting to save her dad from alcoholism, and so my dad had that same issue. And like in the movie, the mother had a break with reality, and my mom went through a nervous breakdown when I was about 6, and she was gone for 3 months to a mental health hospital. So it just had everything in the plot to help me access what it was I hadn't looked at yet. So I highly recommend the movie to anyone who's interested in watching it.
Yeah, it is amazingly powerful. And to me, as I said yesterday, one of the beautiful things is to watch this woman as she bypasses the denial system, having lived her whole life hiding from herself. And then when it opens, how much emotion, how much terror, and then when she sees the resolution happen, how she just breaks into process. I mean, the tears flow. She's right there with it. And that's where the healing moments happen, and that's where the non-being mind thinks, so this is the most dangerous of all. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So it's definitely powerful.
Yeah, so I made a list of things that I disliked about relating to my mom and five things I disliked about relating to my dad when I was little. And so I'm using that for worksheet material, because whatever I see that's out there, that's my work to do.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. Whenever I look, you know, there was a good picture on Facebook the other day, and it had someone with a face, and then you know how they have these masks on a stick. Well, this person has a mask on the stick, and they have no face, and they're without a face, looking at a face, and of course it's their own, and that it's all an inside job. But it takes such great learning to realize it's all an inside job when we're pointing the finger at somebody else and look what they did to me, look what's wrong with them, look how I know how to fix them. And of course, if that worksheet in the codependence to interdependence is such an awesome tool. When you've got advice for somebody else, start following your advice, and all of a sudden you're an expert at giving advice. It's, you know, it's such a great turnaround.
Yeah, and I'd like to share about how important choice is, because we can choose out of these patterns. And there's something called the Kaplan triangle where we have the abuser and the rescuer and then the perpetrator, and these people often change places. And
right.
So what I'm realizing is that there's a higher way to live. And because of having had the tools these many years now, I just give great thanks for what they've done for me in my life and how I see them helping my friends and family and the people that come to me for guidance. So, you know, I've done lots of different seminars and lots of different opportunities, and I always value this work so much. So I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Well, we have a genius to thank. 2,000 years ago, a man named Yeshua came to the planet and said, here it is, folks, now. If you can build the brain cell, you know, he says, if you can only use this work if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And as I said earlier, you know, we can't function out of brain cells we don't have. And it's interesting how many people will be around to work for a day. I've had people come to Heartland. You know, we've been running a center for 23 years, and they're there for 3 days, and they know how to run the center better than we do. They've never run a center before, but all of a sudden they know, and we'll get people who are so self-centered and so egotistical that they can tell us how to do it. And, you know,
well, it's just one more distraction.
Yes,
it's just a way of distracting.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So, anyway, it's awesome to have you on the team. We appreciate you and the work you're doing, and you have our unqualified support.
Or should thank you. Thank you so much.
We can take the un out of there. Qualified support.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a blessed one. Much appreciation, and I look forward to hearing what happens next with the jail down there and getting the door to open and how that's going to unfold. By the way, have you heard any more from her? Has there been any more communication?
I will be delivering the DVDs that you graciously gave. I have, I think, about 15 DVDs to deliver, and so I'm sure I'll be able to see her the end of this week.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Exciting, exciting. Well, and, you know, we may be back in November, and so you've got some forms to send me. We'll get those filled out, and then maybe in November when we're back, we'll be able to go in and help to support it and get it all just to the next level and rock and roll.
Okay, wonderful. I'll email it to you. Thanks again.
All right, blessings. Much appreciation.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.
Okay,
I love
we have
it.
A Skype
That's
caller.
An awesome opportunity. Oh, go for it, Jeannie. Excuse me.
Okay, Skype caller, you're on.
Skype caller, give us a name. Where are you calling from? Looks like we've lost some, Jeannie.
Hello?
Okay. Well, they just started to come on as it disconnected, so I'm not sure if they'll be able to get back on in time. We're down to about 3 minutes.
So do we have any other callers at the moment?
No, nobody else has their hand up right at the moment.
Well, let's talk about what's happening. So if anybody's in the St. Louis, Missouri area, we're going to be in St. Louis, or I am. Jeannie's actually going to be staying here and doing some family things and going to a family reunion, but I'll be in St. Louis next week. So if you're in that arena, come and join us. We'll be doing two workshops next Tuesday and Wednesday in St. Louis. There may be something else developed, but at this moment that looks like it's going to be it. And so we'd be delighted to see you there. And from St. Louis, of course, I'll be getting some grandbaby and some daughter time, and then I'll be heading to Theodosia. And we start a 16-day communication codependence to interdependence practicum, July 18th to August 2nd. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, then you might want to join us for that one. We've also got a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again from August 4th to 12th. And then we'll go right into teacher's training through August 20th. So anybody who's ready to deepen your understanding of the forgiveness process from the Aramaic and or you want to teach, the teacher's training is for both. And so there's a full teacher training that will go from August the 4th to the 20th. So that's a 17-day. And then for anyone who's already done the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, they can come just for that second module of teacher training, August 12th to 20th. Otherwise, you have to do the 9-day Why first. And then we'll be doing a 16-day Laws of Living Still Point Breathing Workshop, and that'll happen August 22nd to September 8th. And if you're ready to on board with understanding this process of law happens. It's not the rule of a superior. It's got nothing to do with anybody that's going to punish us for not doing something, but just understanding how the eternal forces work. And we're delighted to be able to support you. If you want to come and play this summer at Heartland, we're going to have a small summer there, so we've got room. Come and join us. In the meantime, give the world the best gift you can possibly give at the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.
continuously, 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 continuously.